Good afternoon, CMSC 242. So today I'm going to talk a little bit more about threats. We left off in our last in-class lecture on threads, and we talked about how threads were lightweight processes and that we could use C++ threads. So C++ threads are a standard built-in library from C++ 11 on. You can include them by using pound include thread. You can look on C++.com and look in the reference on thread, and you can see the different things that you can do. They are an object, and they're built on top of Linux's / Unix's pthread library. To link on Linux, you will need to link against the pthread library. So how do you link a library? How do you link against pthread? Okay, think that through. All right, so let's take a look at a thread and how we can use them. So we pound include thread using namespace standard. The example I have here on the third slide is creating two different threads, a thread THD and a thread THE. The THD thread uses a function named func. The THE thread uses a function named fund. Okay, so what will happen is the constructor for the thread takes in a function. We know that we can take in functions as parameters because we've done that with function pointers. So it takes in a function and will start executing its thread, its little lightweight process, running that particular function. So here we have two different functions that are going on. We have one that takes in some parameters, which you can see how you could pass in the parameter 4 into fund, and that would initialize int me to being the value 4. And then at the next level down, what we can see is that we have dot join. All right, so the dot join function on a thread object will cause the calling thread, in this case main, our central thread, to wait until that thread is done. So if we look at the next slide, we can see some different questions. On the bottom left, you can, or some different thoughts. The bottom left, you can see main will wait until THD is done, and then wait until THE is done. What that lets us know is that the statement cout done will be the last thing that will get printed to the screen, right? The other two threads are going to have to finish execution before done is printed. You can see here as well that the constructor makes the thread ready to run. It does not guarantee that it will be run in that order. So the question above, which says which will print first, I don't actually know. This could print out 5.8, this could print out 8.5, this could print out 58, and this could print out 85. How could it print out 58? Well, it could print out 5, and before the indel is printed out, it could print out 8, and then print two indels in a row. Or it could print 8, and before that indel was printed out, it prints the 5. So any one of those four different combinations could happen. 5, 8, 58, 85. I don't know which order they'll get done, because when I call the constructors, all it's doing is making the thread ready to run. Something further up the line is actually going to schedule them to run and cause them to run. Now, if you actually run this, you can plug this into Replit and run it, or put it onto the CS server and run it. Link it and run it, and you'll find out that almost always it says 58. Sometimes it'll say, sometimes it'll say 58, and almost always it'll say 58, and sometimes 58. But there's no guarantee. You could get 85, you could get 85. We have no guarantee in the order of execution. So let's look at a problem. There's a sunken treasure ship. It's just been found. We want to get all the gold doubloons. And so how are we going to do that? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hire a bunch of divers, and they're going to go dive, and they're going to bring up doubloons one at a time, or 10 at a time, or some amount. We have a couple other questions that we have to think about, which is how much treasure is in the ship to start with, and how much did a diver retrieve one at a time? Because we need to pay them for how much they retrieve. So let's look at a first solution to this. And in our first solution, we're going to keep track of how much we should pay the diver based off of an integer named payment, and how much treasure we started with in the ship and an integer named treasure. Now note, what I've done is I've put those at global variable level. Now, that bothers a lot of people, but this is a situation in which a global variable is very useful. And that is because the threads all share the same memory space, i.e., that global variable is shared across all the threads. The individual function calls have each unique stack space. All right, so treasure is shared across all the different functions. All right, if I were to declare a variable inside the function fetch, it would only exist inside the function fetch. So we've done the same thing. We've said thread diver, we're going to call fetch, and it's going to run that code. Now, this is kind of boring because it's just a single thread, but it's a good place to start with. So we say while treasure is greater than zero, subtract 13 off. Why 13? That's just the amount that one diver can fetch at a time. So they subtract 13 off of the treasure, and they up their payment by 13. Are there any problems to this? Well, of course, there's a problem because you've already looked ahead, but could the treasure become negative? Right, well, if I keep taking off 13s, eventually I'm going to get down to something that is not, that is less than 13, and when the next time I come through, it's going to be greater than 0, but less than 13, and then it's going to roll over and become negative. So treasure would be negative, and that would mean that I would pay a diver for 13 doubloons when they only got fewer. So how could I fix this? Well, I could introduce another variable. And this is a good example of a local variable for a thread. Now in my fetch, I still do the same while, but I create a local variable named amount, int amount, and I'm setting that equal to the min of the treasure, or 13. So if 13 is less than the total number of treasure, I can only take 13. If treasure was less, if treasure was 3 or 4 or 6, then, well, okay, I can just take 6. I can't take the 13. I'm going to take that amount off of treasure, and then I'm going to add the amount to the payment. Again, at the bottom, we're going to just run this pretty straightforward and run it, and it should run. We're waiting until the diver is finished and moving on. Now, this isn't very interesting. This is just one diver. I could just call this function, and it'd just be done, right? It's not really adding anything in terms of parallel execution. So what I would like to do is increase the number of divers. And I'm going to do this by keeping a vector of divers. Now, what you can see here is that I've made a slight transition. I've moved from having just a thread to having a thread pointer. All right, so it's a vector of thread pointers. And the reason it's a vector of thread pointers is that when I create my vector of divers, I'm going to have to allocate a thread, and that's going to call a constructor. So what I'm going to do is, and I'm only going to allocate those threads with new at the time that I start initializing them. So I'm going to go in here with divers.pushback. I'm initializing 4 threads. In each one of those, I'm just going to call the constructor using new thread fetch, and it's going to call and run fetch, and I push that back onto my divers vector. Now, I'm going to put them in a vector because I want to store them so that I can iterate through them at the end and have them join. So I'm going to wait until all the divers are done, and then I will print out the payment. Now, note, I haven't kept quite as to what I wanted to do. I haven't actually stored an individual payment. Instead, what I have is the total payment that I'm going to have to pay out. So I've got a quiz question for you. And I'll post the quiz on Friday at 2 o'clock. It'll go up, and you'll have a little bit of time to answer it. But you should have your mind open to what needs to be done, and you can run it ahead of time. What I want you to do is take this code and try to get it to compile and get it to run. And I want you to tell me if payment is right. Now, bump around with the amount of treasure. Maybe move it up to 10,000 or 100,000. Maybe, you know, decrease it, increase it. Maybe you can change the number of divers that you had from 4 to 20 to 100 to 200. I don't know. Try different numbers here. And tell me if payment is correct. Think about what payment should be. Payment should equal out to, well, you should tell me what payment should be. And you should tell me what you actually got when you ran it. All right. I am planning on having some Zoom office hours, virtual office hours tonight, Thursday, and maybe sometime over the weekend before the lab is actually due on Monday. But you're going to need to be able to take advantage of them. I guess today is Wednesday, so Wednesday and Thursday. So there's a couple opportunities for you to talk to me kind of face-to-face or virtually face-to-face and ask questions off of that. So you need to be ready for those and be ready to ask questions. All right. Go outside and get some fresh air today. I will talk to you all later.